Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of the Shelleybrook MP Team Podcast. You'll hear me, Mr. Southwell, and Mr. Nash is here as well.
Good morning, the super duo.
We're back again. This is our last one before our little half-term break, and then we're going to come back and see the rest of the school year out. What are we talking about today?
Well, this is the last one of this this series of podcasts. We thought we'd do something again, just a little bit more fun and interesting, I guess. We're looking at people who inspired us, sports leaders who inspired us. So, do you want to kick the ball straight away, get going, Mr. Southwell?
That's clever you've used the kick the ball analogy. there's loads of sports leaders, and I think coaches, I think teachers are going to come into this, maybe to an extent family figures, but we're looking at those professional people you really looked up to, I think, as when you're learning your trade effectively. There's been a couple. From my time, there was a player called Ledley King, who would be one of them. He's what you would call a one-club man in football. So he spent sort of 10, 12 years at one club, which at the moment is like unheard of just because of transfers and things like that. There's a number of things that he's done that sort of endeared me to him and just the way he is as a person as well. And there's also a manager called Bill Nicholson, who was a bit of a trendsetter back in the day. And I'm talking about the 60s here. I wasn't born then. But this is someone that, sure. For me... Yeah, I wasn't. Honestly, I wasn't. And this is someone that, for me, sort of really did set trends in the game and did lots about innovations and the height of expectation he brought to it. So for me, I've got those two people, really. Who are you going to talk about?
For me, I've got two people, two contrasted people, I guess. One is in the public eye, and it's Clive Woodward.
Yeah.
Rugby football coach, obviously led the national team to great success. He's somebody who inspires me. And also, on a lighter note, it was my own PE teacher in secondary school. Mm. One of my own PE teachers, Mr. Woods, was the person who got me to start thinking about being a PE teacher to help me where I am today, I guess.
So you've got two very contrasting people. Yeah. One famous, one not as famous.
Nowhere near as famous.
But both equally effective.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, let's kick off. I suppose we should really talk about the skills and qualities that make them effective leaders. Do you want to start with Clive?
I think one of the things about Clive that I think is really interesting is if you look across his history involved in sport, he went to private school where he played well before going to private school. He'd been playing football. He was a big footballer. And only really enjoyed that sport, and then went off to private school, and rugby was the thing of private school, and he had to get involved in that. Never really liked it as much as football, but played rugby to a good level. In 1997, became the England coach. Now, when he became that England coach, he wasn't really the first choice of people who wanted, you know, the selection team for the head coach and things. He wasn't that first choice, probably because he wasn't involved in the level they wanted. There was other people more famous. There was people that potentially could do more. But what I really liked about Clive, when you read his autobiography and things like that, he had a vision, he had a plan. And I bang on about that today with my things. You've got to have a plan. You've got to know where you're going. And he had his clearly set. Now, along that way, he had to be able to communicate that vision to a team and make sure that they knew where they were going, what they were going to do, how they were going to do little things along the way, make these little gains that were going to help them get better and better. And it was incredible, obviously, go from a team that wasn't particularly performing at the top of the world in rugby,
yeah,
to then by 2003 win the World Cup. You know, in a relatively short space of time, you think 5 years to go from that is incredible.
Full circle, yeah.
Full circle, and you know he had his own idea of what should be expected of international players. I think for, you know, day one when he ends up at Twickenham, on the day one of accepting head coach, he gets there, and because before that date it had only been a semi-professional sport as opposed to professional. There wasn't a place for him to work at Twickenham. There wasn't
an office
or anything. He was literally told, well, surely you do all this at home in your car or, you know, on the side of the football, on the rugby football pitch. It's not the case of, you know, actually having an office.
Yeah.
Why would you need an office? And it was him knowing that if you want to improve this, you've got to bring an element of business to it. And that's part of what his history was. And his transference of skills between business and sport was useful for them and really helped them perform. So I think that's a good trait to have, that ability to be able to transfer prior experiences to something you're doing now, even if it's not the same as such.
I've met Clive Woodward.
Have you?
I did my Level 3 football coaching award with him, and we were at a local secondary school, and then on the morning of one of the assessment days, a Jaguar pulls up outside and everyone's sort of going, who's this? It's Clive Woodward. And he was working at Southampton at the time under Harry Redknapp. Right. And there was a lot of it in the press about him sort of switching from rugby to football for a little bit. But you know when somebody's got an aura about them as soon as they come in, because he came to us already winning the World Cup, already coming in as like one of the best coaches in the world. And it wasn't just a normal day where everybody watched everyone's sessions. It was as soon as Clive Woodward came on, you had everybody on the course stop and just go straight over and watch it. And you had the chance to like ask him questions and different about different characteristics about the players that he worked with. And I think that really comes across. And it's somebody that you know isn't like an innovator, someone that's done like things that are new, not afraid of new challenges. Because during that time, he was getting a lot of flack in the press from switching from rugby to football, because it's never done. Mm. And he was quite honest about it. He was going, you know, this was the sport I was first into, and I want to try and be a success in it as well.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to see it go. But that other side of it was, even though he pulled up in a Jag, he still had breakfast with us. He was still in the same change room as us and stuff like that. And it was sort of...
Did you feel like a little edge?
A little bit, because we both... And my problem with him is, we both ordered scrambled egg. And it was a special order, and he stole mine. So forever to this day, I have this issue with him as well. But
about scrambled egg.
But it was just that... There's definitely like a presence to him. Because obviously the way that he did things and very meticulous in planning, I noticed as well.
Did the person running the course pick up on anything he did wrong?
He passed, funnily enough, pretty quickly. But he was being fast tracked through, and we were just the next available slot. And it was just it was a great one off chance to be able to.
I think it would have been incredible for the person leading that course to have gone through. And I just want to talk about coaching style.
Yeah, just you know, the World Cup win, not quite. Yeah,
we're not good at football.
No, so that was, like I said, it's really good, and you know, I can see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, and obviously he's gone on now to he's worked with the Olympic squad.
Yeah,
as their director of elite performance.
Yeah,
so he's dabbled in other sports as well. Yeah, but he's using again that skill set he's developed from one sport and applying it to whatever he does in life. And I think that's what the beautiful thing about is people who are involved in sport, even if you don't stay in sport for the rest of your life, you can learn a lot from sport and be able to put it into life lessons and, you know, your future. And I think that's what Clive's showing there. You can go on to different things and still use what you've picked up previously to help that.
He's still making a huge difference, which I think is part of it as well. One of my leaders is probably not as well known to some of the others. It's a gentleman called Bill Nicholson, who was Tottenham's first major manager. He was the first manager to win us a league title. He won the double with the club as well. But the thing about him is not necessarily the way he coached players. It was the message he sent to the players and the way that he put the fans at the very front of everything that he did. And there's not many managers that do that now. And it was all about the respect, the equal playing, the equal terms that the players and the supporters were on. And he had a lot about expectations. And there's a famous quote that is etched into one of the Spurs shirts, actually. And it's all about, ironically, failure and success, which we've been through a lot of as Tottenham fans. And one of his quotes is, "It's better to fail aiming high than succeed aiming low." Mm-hmm. And we of Spurs have set our sights very high. So high, in fact, that even failure will have in it an echo of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of says to you that the expectations that person's setting are huge.
Yeah, I like that.
And it was one of those that sort of, that really rings true to the fans, and the fans get behind it. And it's still to this day, you know, what are we, 50, 60 years on nearly. It's like people are still going through that and they still hold that belief really dear to them.
That's nice.
One of the others that he said about was the supporters are the most important thing in the game, because without them there'd be no professional sport.
Mm.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sort of not seen as much anymore. You don't get managers in it for that. The managers at the moment in football seem to be the celebrities almost. Mm. You look at the press with Mourinho.
Yeah, he's coming in, so
yeah, we're 10 days away from a major championship that our country's taking part in.
Mm.
And we're talking about someone going to a club that we already know about. And a day in the lot, and a day where a manager has been sacked 48 hours after winning an FA Cup.
Mm.
To me, that sort of switch. So he's one of the last sort of...
I really like that.
Yeah.
I really like that saying, that idea of you set your sights high.
So high, yeah.
You know, even you might not... It's better to fail at that than just be doing well at low-level, mediocre sort of jobs and things.
And it was the ability to work with what were not sort of mediocre players and turn them into an unbelievable team.
Mm.
So you've got those things on the side of like respect and
yeah.
I like that. And it was... He's like I said, he's really, really sort of, he's held in hugely high regard at the club as well. So it's really good.
Brilliant.
Who's your next one?
Well, like I said, my contrasting person is my own PE teacher. Now, it's, for me, when I was at secondary school, One of the subjects I really enjoyed was obviously PE. You know, I'd make sure every week PE lessons, I had my kit. I was always doing it, and it's probably because I had a PE teacher who enjoyed his lessons.
Yeah.
Enjoyed learning about new sports and so forth. And I even remember things like, you know, if I might be wake up in the morning and be a little bit sick, if I was better by the afternoon, I knew I had PE. I was going
straight in.
I was going in for the afternoon. Injuries, I'd be there with my kit.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I can do as much as I can. Things like that. And I'd always want to be involved in that PE. And to put my finger on it, what was it that made me think I want to be a PE teacher? I think it was, firstly, the way in which he was inspiring the lads around me to do sport. I was thinking, that's good, that's cool, actually. He's actually putting across something he loves and inspiring others to do it. And I thought, I quite like the idea of doing that. He was, it was the ability to make things enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, let's be honest.
Mm.
Some people aren't going to find enjoyable.
No.
And how do you make running around the track enjoyable?
Yeah, and I did enjoy that. And also, I think over time, he believed in me.
Mm.
And that was another thing I quite liked. He believed that I could go. He always believed I could do better in my own sport, rugby and things. I didn't follow that pathway. He always believed I could do this, and this. But it gave me that confidence.
Yeah, if someone tells you, you think you're good. Yeah, it's nice.
And that was nice, and it made me, definitely work harder at it. I never pursued it to the sort of level he would talk about, but that's probably my own attitude.
Yeah, maybe look at what you've become. That's always part of it.
Mm.
Yeah, if someone puts a little bit of belief in you, it makes you want to perform for them, which I think a lot of high-profile coaches have as well. And if you have that on a teacher level, that's a special sort of bond that you can get that you don't really get elsewhere in sport, I think, which I think is like
great. And obviously we as pupils, when I was a student at school, obviously only saw one level of it. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I know he became, head of PE and so on, things like that. But I only saw what I saw in the classroom.
Yeah.
And that inspired me to want to try and teach others. And that's what I liked.
Yeah.
And I know he's still involved in teaching now.
Yeah, that's a nice story, that, as well. And it's obviously led you into the career path you're in as well. It's great.
Yeah.
I think motivation is a big part of it. And that self-belief is one that comes into it. And I just think about when you read little snippets of autobiographies and different things. We spoke about Mourinho earlier.
Yeah.
He spent a bit of time at Real Madrid. And one of the players wrote an autobiography while they were there. And one of the quotes that they had about Mourinho was that they were so motivated by him that they were willing to go out and kill for him. And if you get 11 players, all with that mentality, that's strong.
Yeah.
And, it may not get the best, may not be the prettiest of results, but they're willing to literally do whatever they can to get a result. That's amazing.
That's an incredible trait to be able to have.
Yeah.
To have that ability to motivate people to that level.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. My second one is Spurs captain, recently retired, is Ledley King.
Right.
He was a great player, but was hampered by injuries all the way through his career. And he was, like I said, he's a one-club man. Like, literally came in as an 8-9-year-old to Tottenham all the way through to 32 when he retired. But he had some shocking injuries that would just put him out for, 6-7 months at a time. And it was horrible to see, because when he played, he was, and I'm not saying because he was Spurs, he was one of the best defenders in Europe. But he just never got to do it constantly and consistently, and it was really difficult to watch. And he had a really good bond with the Spurs fans, because every time that he went for sort of a 60-yard sprint, you think, oh, we might get injured here. And then he would get injured, and everyone would feel for him and whatnot. He was so much more than that. He was a leader that wasn't somebody that just stood at the front and shouted. He would set an example, because his work rate was phenomenal. But he would never be the leader that would just be there barking orders at people. He would listen more, which I think was something as a strength you need as a leader. He would understand the ideas in the dressing room and then go and act on it afterwards.
Yeah, so he'd listen to everyone's views.
Yeah, it wasn't right, follow me. It was almost right, I'll push from the back. I'm happy to do that if I need to. Very, very calm and collected. Never ever lost his temper. And I think that's important. There's intense rivalries in some of the games, and we weren't a great team when Ledley King was playing. And that's got to be hard to not show that.
Mm.
The loyalty bit is the one. Loyalty is massive for me. And he could have left and gone to bigger and better things, as a famous defender did at Spurs before. But he didn't. He stuck with it all the way through to the end of his career. And the respect and admiration that he's now got at the club is unreal.
Yeah.
And they say never meet your heroes. I did. I was so fortunate. I had lunch with him, watched a game with him. And when you see it from a player who's also a fan, it's a different world. Because I was like a little kid. I was asking questions left, right and centre. What's it like doing this? What's it like doing that? Proper gentleman. And not something that you get in sport anymore as you...
Yeah. So he answered your questions.
Everything. Absolutely brutally honest. And he would tell you sort of bits about the dressing room and the way he saw things and his perception of it. And he really cared. And he said at the end of the day, it's all about the supporters. And it comes back to, again, that respect between fan and supporter. That's something that I, as a spectator, I want to see more of. We don't see that enough. Mm. You know, when if you're ever stood outside the ground, a player just walks straight onto the coach, headphones on, don't talk to anybody. He's the guy there holding the coach up because he's still signing little Johnny's shirt. That's the sort of thing that's brilliant, and you know that tells you that you're a really well respected leader as well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the things that you look when you look back on again, you go back to autobiographies. We have a very intense rivalry with Arsenal, and Thierry Henry wrote about Ledley King's autobiography and said that I know he's a Spurs player, but he's one of the toughest performers I've ever played against, but also one of the nicest. And you think if you can break that rivalry up and talk about there, that's what you need. And
respect.
Yeah, and he didn't win much as a player because he was at Spurs. He only won a League Cup. He's won a few Player of the Month awards. He's won a few Player of the Year awards, but he hasn't won major trophies. But he will be an icon at the club forever.
Still playing?
No, retired. Had to retire. So he's a club ambassador now.
Mm.
But he's a one club man, and that's something that's very very rare.
That is nice.
Yeah. So, what skills and qualities have we got in common between our performers?
Well, I think this dedication. Being dedicated to your sport, to your cause. Dedication's a big part of this, isn't it? They're all very, very dedicated. They're self-motivated,
yep.
I think. They've got that motivation there to try and be better, to overcome problems.
Adversity.
Adversity,
yeah.
That's the word I was looking for, to overcome adversity. To be able to go, right, okay, we haven't won this, we haven't succeeded as quick as we'd hoped, but we'll still keep going.
I think that passion's one as well.
Passion's a good one.
when you see the person leading you and you think, this is clearly the most important thing to you at the moment,
yeah,
that makes you want to perform.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, that's something that's very, very important as a leader as well. I think you might want to look at motivation would be one. Mm. Communication skills.
I think all of them have got good communication skills. You know, they've got to articulate what they want to achieve.
Yeah.
And that requires good communication skills, doesn't it? If you haven't got that, you're never going to inspire others because you've never made it clear where we're trying to go or what we're trying to do.
You can be a great technical coach, but if you haven't got the personality skills to go with it, you're going to struggle, which I think is one of them as well.
Yeah.
If we had to wrap this up and then give some tips to the guys in year 9, year 10 that are going to be leading, we want our leaders to be like our heroes.
We want them to be inspirational.
So what sort of things could they do ready for when they lead? What sort of things could they get across straight away to the kids?
A clear idea of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, so that they articulate well what they're trying to achieve. They're not mumbling through, we're trying to start it. It's just a clear, this is what we're going to do today. Smile on your face, you know.
Looking like you want
to
be there.
Yeah, exactly that. Like you said, if it comes across like this is the most important thing to you right now, children will thrive off of it. If it looks more like you've got your hands in your pocket, you're propped up against the wall, it looks more like you'd rather be somewhere else, the children aren't going to get on board with it. So I think that's a really important key part to this.
Learn a couple of names.
Yeah.
Not difficult to do, and it's a nice personal touch. Yeah, if you can learn the name, they're going to go, that year 9, year 10 knows my name.
Yeah, that's really nice. That will help them, yeah.
Yep. I think that's quite a nice way to round off this half term, really.
Yeah, and those, like we say, the year 9s and 10s have got their festivals coming up soon.
Yeah, pretty much right after half term. So
good luck with those. Hope they're planning over the half term goes well.
Yep, right. We'll see you guys after the half-time break.
Thank you.